Well, thank you for having us. We always look forward to being here with you guys. And another summer. I can't believe the year's already come around so quickly. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on Daniel. And as I said, Daniel is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He really, to me, stands as an example of being in the world, but not of it, of real excellence in the Lord and finishing well. And a while back, I started praying about what the keys were to Daniel's testimony, what set him apart from the other men in the Bible who had great successes, but also had great failings, such as Samson or David. And I believe the answer the Lord gave me was that Daniel worked on his personal integrity and his personal accountability. And before we move on, I just want to define these terms. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong principles and moral uprightness. Accountability is having a responsibility to someone for your activity. So Daniel worked on his personal integrity, which comes from a relationship with Christ, but he also recognized that he had a responsibility to God for his conduct. So if you're not already there, let's turn to 1 Daniel here. Daniel was taken captive from Judah to Babylon in around 605 BC when the king of Babylon ordered that some of the children of Israel be brought back to Babylon to serve him. And we find that the king of Babylon set aside a portion of his own food for these captives to eat. So in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, Daniel was an Israelite, and as such, he was instructed to follow Moses' law to honor God. The Israelites' way of honoring God was by keeping that law, and this included not eating unclean foods. The king's delicacies would have certainly included foods that were considered unclean by Moses' law. For example, it's noted that the Babylonians were fond of mixing blood with their wine. It's also possible that this food was sacrificed to idols before being eaten. But whatever the case was, Daniel felt that eating this food would be disobeying God and would harm his relationship with the Lord. So he chooses not to eat it. Now, this wasn't just a flippant decision. The king himself had put aside this food. It was an honor. It was expensive. It was considered a privilege. And Daniel's saying, no thanks. I'm good. And we see we see later on that the king is quite a disagreeable character. And the eunuch even says here, I fear for my head if you don't eat this food and you're found to be less healthy. Daniel here is also missing out on a great opportunity to make friends with the other young men who were in the program. And he would have certainly become very unpopular when the delicacies were taken away later on. And it's so true that obeying God and honoring him might be uncomfortable and might oftentimes make us unpopular, but God will give us favor. Now, I've always found it interesting when you read this story that Daniel did not resist the changing of his name or his pagan education. It doesn't say that Daniel purposed in his heart he would not be called Belteshazzar. But when it came to eating the king's food, he said, no, I won't do it. And I've always wondered, you know, why is that? And what it shows us is that our external circumstances do not affect our relationship with Christ. What people call us, what they say or do, ugly names, secular employment or education, these things cannot harm our relationship with Christ unless we let them. Our external circumstances are not important. What is important are our internal circumstances, what we partake of, so to speak. Today, we aren't defiled by food laws like Daniel was in the Old Testament, but we are defiled by the sin and unclean things that we keep in our lives and in our hearts. Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles the man. So sin, lying, stealing, cheating, gossip, fornication, unclean thoughts, I mean, the list goes on and on. These are the things that defile us today and that we must purpose in our hearts not to partake of. So Daniel speaks with the eunuch, he speaks with the leader of the group, and they devise a test to see whether Daniel's diet will work. So Daniel and his friends are put on a diet of vegetables and water, and the other young men are kept on the king's delicacies for 10 days. And we see in Daniel 1:14, "So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies." So Daniel wins this test, and all of the young men are put on his diet. And this, I always laugh at this because this shows us that God's rules work. Whether we're in the church or out of the church, his strategies function today because he is the divine author, and he will give us strategies that work so well, even the heathen will want to use them. Just because we are not in a Christian setting does not mean we need to forget God's laws. Just because we aren't in secular employment does not mean we need to forget God's ways. And just because we are around bad language doesn't mean we need to use it. So what are the results? The next step is, what are the results of this choice that Daniel and his friends made? They chose to honor God by following his laws. What are the results of this? We see in Daniel 1:17, "As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." So, let's see. God gave them knowledge and skill. That's quite a cool thing to get from God, knowledge and skill. When we honor God, he will honor us. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, God says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." When we walk in personal integrity and remain accountable to God, he will reward us with gifts and abilities that are far beyond the norm. You'll notice that it's after Daniel and his friends decide not to eat the king's food that they are given these gifts, not before. The gifts that God gave Daniel and his friends are further shown in 1 Daniel 19:20. "Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." So this was a big deal. It wasn't just that Daniel and his friends were better than that particular group of young men or that particular group of astrologers who were in that area. They were better than all of the wise men in the entire realm. And it's a direct result of them honoring God through their integrity and accountability. You know, a side note, I always read of Adam and Eve, and I think, imagine the gifts and abilities they could have had, the relationship they could have had with Christ if they had chosen to not disobey God and defile themselves by eating the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. So when we honor God with our integrity, we are also given favor. Daniel and his friends were given favor with the chief of eunuchs. They were able to even, you know, they had the ability to even do their diet that they wanted to. They were also given favor with the king. As we see, they served before the king. And as I mentioned, we see later on that the king is quite a tyrant at times, but God gave them favor. From this moment on, Daniel's life and influence go straight up. He not only survived several different kings, but had influence with each. And when difficult situations arose, he was the one that was always called on for help. When Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, is king, he throws a large feast to honor the pagan gods. And he uses the artifacts from the temple to do it. And God is displeased, and he writes on the wall. And everyone's freaking out. It says that the king's knees knocked together. He was pretty scared. And the queen, who is not not Belshazzar's wife, but actually his mother, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, she hears of this and she says, "There's a man in your kingdom in whom there is the spirit of the holy God." And she goes on to describe Daniel and tell Belshazzar about Daniel and all the things he did for Belshazzar's father. And what's interesting is the whole way through her describing Daniel, she never uses his captive name. She always calls him by his true name, Daniel. The respect for Daniel was so high that the queen of Babylon, calls him by his true name rather than his captive name. Daniel's testimony was so far-reaching that it's believed that Daniel was a big reason why the wise men went to Bethlehem in search of the Messiah, because Daniel had told them about the Messiah, where he would be born, how to find him, where he would show up. And it's all because he loved God and chose to honor him. You know, I always, when I read that, I was doing research and learning about how they believe that Daniel was the reason the wise men went in search of the Messiah. I always think, what a relationship he must have had with Christ, or with the Lord, for the Lord to say, hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you where my son's going to be born. Let me tell you when he's going to be born. Let me tell you how to find him. And, you know, through the gifts that the wise men brought, Joseph and Mary, they were able to flee to Egypt and escape King Herod's wrath. And so Daniel's influence was so far-reaching that he even had a hand in protecting the Messiah. And once again, it goes back to his personal integrity and accountability. Another factor here is, of course, that we have to be faithful in the little things. When we are faithful with a little, God will give us greater opportunities. Later, when a king Nebuchadnezzar has a dream he could not remember and wanted his own dream and the interpretation, Daniel receives both when no one else can. And it's because of the foundation he had laid with the Lord, with honoring him in little things. If he had not had this foundation laid, if he had not honored God with his laws, he would not, If he had not had laid the foundation with God of being obedient in small things, he would not have received the dream or the interpretation, and he would have been killed along with the rest of the wise men, as the king had ordered. So we need to stay away from the small things that defile us, but we must also not neglect the small obediences in our relationship with Christ. Many times today as Christians, it's easy to neglect the small parts of our faith. And when a big challenge comes, we're very quick to seek the Lord. And he is faithful, but we must remember to remain faithful in the small things, diligent in the small things. So we've spoken about God honoring Daniel and his friends, but there's another side to this verse. As we mentioned earlier, all the young men were on Daniel's diet when the king examined them, as the eunuch had chosen to take away the king's food and replace it with Daniel's food. So in essence, all of the young men in the program were forced to obey God's laws. Yet Daniel and his friends still outperformed everyone else. Why is that? This shows us that following God's rules, just following his rules, or being forced to follow his rules isn't enough. Our obedience has to come from a personal relationship with Christ. This is the difference between integrity and morality. Morality are externally imposed values which are acknowledged to be for the good of society. Integrity, on the other hand, is an internally imposed state that guides us toward making wise choices. Jesus makes the difference between these two. He is the difference between morality and He's the difference between simply having morality, but then also having integrity. You can have integrity, and you will therefore have morality. But you can do, my goodness. Sometimes, you know, you get to that place where you can't read your own writing, and it's really, it's wonderful. It's really great. It's like, who wrote this? Someone else. All right.
But you can have morality.
Yeah. A person can have morality without integrity. You can do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. Many Christians today focus on doctrine and rules, but neglect their relationship with Christ. Many parents give their children Christian rules in the hope that they will convert the kids, rather than teaching them to build a relationship with Christ. Rules don't change the heart. Relationship does. We see that the steward took away the portion of the delicacies from all the young men, so removing sin from our lives isn't enough either. We have to actively pursue God's presence and future in our lives. When we have a relationship with Christ and we honor him, we will receive all this fruit. You know, I love that scripture, the scripture that says they were 10 times better than all the other wise men. I mean, that's Einstein just wicked smart. It's so cool. I'm slightly a geek, so I appreciate that sort of thing. And it's all the byproduct of their integrity. So Daniel passes all these tests, and he's promoted in the kingdom, but this doesn't mean that his troubles are over. You'll notice he's still a captive in Babylon. He's still a slave to these people. God didn't just say, good job, you've passed the test, and now we're going to set you free and get you home. Sometimes we have to stay in uncomfortable situations, such as secular employment or difficult family situations, but God will give us favor if we honor him. Another side note, many people today talk about being relevant, and they say that if you're more like the world, you'll be more relevant to them and be more effective. But I'm not interested, and as Christians, we shouldn't be interested in being relevant. We should be interested in being so far ahead with Christ that the world has to run to keep up. You know, I always think, what if Daniel had chosen to be relevant in this situation? The book of Daniel would sadly be a lot shorter, and it would be an example of Daniel's failure rather than his victory in Christ. So, a final point. And, you know, it always amazes me how fast time goes by when you're up here. I've got like 10 pages of notes, but they're all like in 72 fonts, so it kind of cancels it out. The first time I preached, Dad was, you know, looking over my notes, and he said, that's good. He said, just remember, it's going to go by quick. And I went, oh, I'm good. I got it. And sure enough, I got up there, and it felt like 5 minutes later, I was going, well, and my final point. So as I get older, I always knew that Dad was right and had a lot of experience, but as I get older, I'm finding how much more right he was than I thought, and it's fantastic. It's a really, it's been a wonderful growing experience. I think it was Mark Twain that said, when I was 13, my father was an idiot and I didn't know anything, and when I left home and came back at 21, I was surprised at what the old man had learned. So... Fortunately, Dad and I's relationship hasn't been like that. But so a final point is some people think you don't have a testimony unless you've sinned, unless you've done these incredible things. You know, you listen to guys, you know, I was a drug dealer and the leader of a mafia hit squad. And you go, man, they got a great testimony. Mine stinks. But this isn't true. If it's true that you have to sin to have a good testimony, then Daniel was a loser and had a terrible testimony. Daniel, tell us your testimony. Well, I didn't join in with everyone and eat the king's food, and to be a real goody-two-shoes, I got all their food taken away and replaced with vegetables and water, hallelujah. You know, I mean, it's... But the truth is that the best testimony as Christians that we can have is one that follows God, loves him, and chooses not to defile themselves with the things of this world, because that's the testimony that Christ had. And the more that we are like him, and the more that we strive to be like him, the more lasting, the more permanent our impact on this world will be. So I have to ask, you know, what are we keeping in our lives that's hindering us? What are the small disobediences, the small things that we are partaking of that are keeping us back from the best that we could have with Christ? What are the seemingly small indulgences that are hindering our walk with the Lord and stopping us from having an incredibly lasting impact like Daniel did? So anyway, that's pretty much what I have to say. I know it's short, but hopefully it's sweet. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you. So give it to Dad.
Man. Thank you, John. I guess I'm replacing myself. That's what it's supposed to do before it's all over. So, amen. So we've covered some distance tonight, and I think God has spoken on several points. As usual, we're with the songs and that, we'll get onto one topic. I think tonight, talking about living faith, are we believing God, although things haven't changed in where we are right now, are we believing God? Are we sitting in the boat complaining about the fact that he looks like he's sleeping? Those kind of things. Naomi making a decision to turn toward God, and then everything starts working. Amen? So there's several issues tonight that we've covered, and if you would like to be prayed for any reason at all, we'd love to pray for you before we go.